Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Our message is going to come from Galatians chapter 6, where our brother just read for us. But I want to begin the message by pointing out the opening words that the Apostle Paul gave in this letter. Galatians 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He opened this letter with grace and peace from God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ because he gave himself for our sins. That's an amazing statement. I was thinking about something just a moment ago before I stood up. You know, we study. All right. We sit down and we know that the task is laid on us. We are going to have to stand up and speak from God's word to God's people on behalf of our God. And so we dwell on these things and think on these things and we study individual words and we get to the heart of them. And then we come and preach them and we try to convey that fast. And it's so difficult. It's impossible unless the Spirit of God blesses it the first time and blesses it the second time. But if he would do that for us right now and let us enter into that, you think about the fact that he gave himself for our sins. What an amazing statement. What an amazing statement. He did that he might deliver us, his people, all that the Father gave to him, every single one. He delivered us. And if we can enter into this, how glorious is this? He delivered us from this present evil world. That's where we are. We're just down here in the pit, in the miry clay. We're just wallowing in the mire. And we sing that song, when he reached down his hand for me, he lifted me up. He might deliver us out of, from this present evil world. And he did that according to the will of God our Father. Verse 5, he said, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory. To him be all the glory forever. Amen. That's how Paul opened the letter. Now let's look at how Paul closed the letter. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 14. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He opened the letter by saying, Christ deserves all the glory for the cross that He suffered. And He ended the letter by saying, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross that Christ suffered. Now, the word glory means boast of. It means vaunt. It means promote. It means give credit to anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's people glory. We glory in the cross. We boast of. We vaunt. We promote. We promote. We give the credit to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word glory also means rejoice in. With all those other definitions, it also means rejoice in. God's people rejoice in the cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift up and we magnify. We praise and we thank God for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to spend our time this morning seeing what it is about the cross that causes us to glory. That's what I want us to look at in this message. What it is exactly about the cross that is so glorious. The title of this message is, What God's People Glory In. I have seven things. And I'll try to remain within my standard window of time. But I have seven things from the Scripture that I want to bring to our attention concerning the cross. And I believe with each one of these, if we're God's people, we will say, that's glorious. That is glorious. How glorious. What a truth to be gloried in. Seven glorious truths or facts concerning the cross. With each one of these scriptures, it's going to say the cross. Everything we're going to look at is going to have the cross in it and say something about the cross. All right, here's the first one. And if you really think about this, this is so. We glory in who it is exactly that hung on that cross. Is that not glorious? Turn with me to John 19. Oh, to know who it is exactly that hung on the cross. That's life eternal. John 19, verse 19, it says, And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, who hung on that cross? Think about this. The King did. The King did. That was the King hanging there for us. Look at verse 5. It says, Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. Who is the man? Look at verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. Who is the king? Look at verse 19. Jesus of Nazareth. What does it mean to say that he is the king? What exactly to its fullest degree does it mean to say that he is the king? Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's what it means to say that he is the king. 1 Timothy 1. verse 17. It says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Who is the King? God Almighty, the eternal, immortal, invisible God Almighty, the only wise God that there is. Look, it's just across my page, but look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." God was. So that's the first thing that we glory in concerning the cross. I pray the Lord might reveal this to men and women. Who was it that hung on that cross? Well, that was Jesus. That was that good man Jesus. Bless his heart. No, no, no. That was God the King eternal. How amazing. How amazing. God the King. Here's number two. What a thing this is to glory in. I'm telling you, if you've never gloried in this, may the Lord open all of our hearts to glory in it right now. If you've never seen this and thought about this, may it just sink in right now, okay? Turn with me to Matthew 27. What a thing to glory in. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 37, it says, "They set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." Now watch verse 40. "And saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Did he? Did he? God's people glory in the fact. I mean, we vaunt. We praise, we give indescribable thanks for, and we rejoice in the fact that he didn't come down. He did not come down. The end of verse 40, they said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Why didn't he come down? Why didn't he come down? Why didn't he prove himself right there to everybody? It's because verse 42 says, "He saved others." And in order to do that, he could not save himself. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he was going to be our saving substitute, he could not save himself. Verse 41 says that the chief priests and the scribes and the elders said that to him to mock him. They were mocking him. And what's amazing is their great mockery is our great glory. They were making fun of him. And their mockery is our greatest glory. We glory in who it was that hung on that cross for us. Who it was that was willing to hang there on that cross for us. And we glory in the fact that he didn't come down. He stayed on that cross until the moment that he cried, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. There's an old song that a man named Ed Hale wrote, and the song is called Scars Up in Heaven. And he sang about scars that love held on the tree. Scars that turned judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. How glorious is it to think that He would not come down? He didn't do it because His love for us held Him there. Here's the third thing. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We glory in the obedience of the cross. You know, death had to take place. The wages of sin is death. And Hebrews 5 says that though Christ was a son, though Christ was the son, for our sake, it says, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered for us. He endured obediently everything that we had to suffer. Our shame and our sin is all because of the fact that we cannot obey God. We just can't. I wish we could. One day we will. One day we're going to be just like Him. One day we're going to be with Him and we're going to be just like Him. And we will. And it sounds so easy to say, now you better obey God. Well, I would if I could, but this old wicked heart just won't. We cannot obey His law. David said, and I say it with him, I love thy law. I don't want to disobey one word in it, but I do. He demands a strict perfection in here that I'm not capable of obtaining. So Christ came and obeyed God for us. He obeyed God all the way down to His demand of our death because of our sin against Him. Christ made Himself to be the servant of God for His people, in the place of His people, on behalf of His people. And because of that, verse 9 right here says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." That means all the glory goes to Him. That's what it means. So we glory in who hung on that cross for us. We glory in the fact that He didn't come down. We glory in the obedience that was displayed to God on our behalf. We speak of this righteousness that we must have before God. Christ is our righteousness. That means obedience. That means goodness. That means well done. Christ is that for us, and we glory in it. He said, "Not my will, Father, but thine be done." He said, "Father, I delight to do thy will." All right, look at this one. Number 4. Go with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 11, it says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision." And what that means is the obedience of the law in order to be saved. You know, everybody back in the Old Testament used to say, "Well, I'm saved because I've been circumcised." Today, people say, "Well, I'm saved because I've been baptized," or some other kind of "ized." And Paul is saying, that's not why we're saved. He said, "I, brethren, if I yet preached circumcision," or salvation through the deeds of the flesh, "then why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." If I preached works, the offense of the cross would cease. God's people glory in the offense. The offense of the cross. What does that mean? Well, look at verse 1. Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Bondage to the flesh. Bondage to the law. What he's saying is, our works play no role. They play no role. Verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Verse 6, he said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Look into him. He's saying we have no part in our salvation. We contribute nothing to the work of our salvation. This is solely in the hands of Christ alone. And in that, Paul said, lies the offense. That's where the offense is. You know, you can tell men and women that they need to be saved because they are sinners. And they really won't have a problem with that. They will to a varying degree. Some people will think they're great sinners. Some people will think they're little itty bitty sinners. But to some degree, they'll say, "Yeah, I get that." But the moment you tell them that salvation is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the moment you tell them it is His will alone, not ours. It is His decision alone, not ours. It is His ability alone, not ours. It's His choice. He does it for who He's pleased to do it for. He does it all and we do nothing. The moment you tell men and women that, their flesh is offended. You have then offended them, and it's because it crushes all their pride. That big record of good works that they had, it just diminishes it to nothing. And it crushes all of their worth and everything that they think they are before God. And it leaves them helpless before the throne. That's where that leaves men and women. Helpless as beggars in need of mercy. Hearing that Christ by Himself purged our sins. That is so offensive to the unbelieving world. But is it to us? Is hearing that Christ did it all. Christ paid it all. Christ satisfied it all. Christ gets the sole credit for it all. Is that an offense to us? Nope. That's our glory. We glory in it. We praise, we laud, we cheer. We cheer. The High King of Heaven. Because of what all that means for us. All right. What does that mean for us? Here's the next one. Look with me at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, enemies, aliens, strangers. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He joined us together with him, and he shed his blood to put away everything that needed to be paid, and he satisfied every law that needed to be fulfilled. And verse 16 says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What does Christ accomplishing it all mean for us? It means reconciliation. Reconciliation. Two parties who were totally at odds being joined together again. Reconciliation. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. It means righteousness and peace can kiss each other. That's what it means. Even though the natural flesh of mankind hates the sovereign, solitary work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's people glory in it because of what it means for them. So we glory in who hung on that cross for us. The fact that he didn't come down. The obedience of it. What the world considers to be the offense of it. Because we glory in the reconciliation of it. Here's the sixth thing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We glory in the gospel of the cross. You know what the word gospel means? Good news. Good news. We glory in the good news of the cross. We have, you know, our Lord has given to us in the pages of this book the most glorious message that's ever been told. I don't understand why anybody would want to preach a different message. This is the most glorious message. This is a message of rest. It's a message of peace. It's a message of relief. It is utter relief. It's a message of a finished work. The alternative to this is a message of no rest at all. That's the alternative to this. The work is not finished. You better go to work. It's time to work. There's no rest to be had yet. There's no peace to be had yet. You're going to have to make that for yourself. And what you're doing is not good enough. You're going to have to do better. You're going to have to try harder. What horrible news. What bad news that would be if that's what God had written in His Word. But glory to God in the highest, that's not what He wrote. Not at all. In the message of the cross, He has declared to us the glory of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful news of the rest and peace and relief that this brought to His people. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, as much as lieth in me, I am ready to preach the good news of the gospel of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And I say the same thing. It is my great delight and it's my great pleasure. It honestly is. to stand up here and as often as I can put a smile on my face and tell you some good news. It's my delight. It's my privilege. We glory in the gospel of the cross. And that leads us to the last thing we'll point out for this message. We glory in the joy of the cross. The joy that the cross has brought. Not just our joy, but our Lord's. Go with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do we not glory in the fact that the cross has brought such great joy to Him? The cross has brought such great joy to the whole host of heaven, the angels. Everything rejoices, knowing the suffering and the pain and the agony that it brought to our Lord. Knowing that, does it not bring joy to us to realize the joy it brought to Him? We constantly dwell on His agony over it and His pain over it. But how glorious is it to think of His joy in it? The joy that He experienced in His heart. So we glory in who exactly it was that hung on that cross for us. We glory in the fact that He didn't come down. Thank God. I want to title a message that. Thank God He didn't come down. We glory in His obedience. We glory in what the world sees to be an offense, Christ's work alone. We glory in the reconciliation of the cross. We glory in the good news of it. And we glory in the joy that it brought to every party involved. Father, Son, Spirit, and every chosen sinner that Christ bore it for. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.